Take your Bible, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And once you find 1 Peter 5, I would like for you to stand with me, if you would, please. And as you're standing, glance down to verse number 6, 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse number 6. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." If you'll look back at me today, my whole intent is to remind us that the devil's out there, and the truth of the matter is, a church like ours, he will oppose us. You say, why? Oh, though there's a little fun that goes on in a fall program, we're doing big business. We're trying to keep people out of hell and make a difference in our country. And as a result of that, the devil will oppose. I called the sermon this morning, Satan's plan for our fall attendance program. You know, he has a plan too. I want to talk to you about that very thing. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, bless us now. Help us. The time is short, but yet you're able. I pray, God, that you will reach down from heaven and do something lasting in this place. There are some here that really have no interest in helping others. I pray, God, that we will all realize we're alive and on this earth, not just to attend to ourselves, but to glorify you. And what glorifies you is helping other people. Spirit of God, help me to quickly but effectively get the point across, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call the sermon Satan's Plan for Our Fall Program. Notice the Bible said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Unless you miss what I'm about to say, I want to encourage us to have revival in our church and in our lives. I will approach it from a little different angle than maybe what you're used to, but our church, this is not just a place where we come to sit around and hear some good music and be happy. This is a factory. And we are under the guidance of the general manager, Jesus Christ, and in the manual called the Bible, he wants us to be productive and to accomplish something in our Christian lives and as a church. This thing called the fall attendance program, now we call our fall attendance program, Don't Be a Chicken. It's all just a part of the fun. Now you say, well, preacher, what in the world is the purpose of a fall program? Well, the purpose is to get as many people under the preaching of the Word of God as we can, to try to get as many people saved as we can. We are a Great Commission church. The Bible teaches a Great Commission church is one that gets people saved and then baptized and get them into the church so they can become a part of the workforce for Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the fall program is that we might fulfill the Great Commission, not just as a church, but as individuals within the church. Some churches will have what they call a 1 or 2 week revival. Now, to be honest, not even real popular to do that anymore, but they might have a 2 week or a 1 week revival, and they would do that once a year. Now, I have to tell you, here at Twin Rivers Baptist Church, we plan a revival 52 weeks a year. You will notice that there are people walking the aisles of this church being saved on a regular basis, week after week after week after week after week, people walk the aisle receiving Christ. So, we've had the privilege, because of God's blessing, we are in a perpetual revival. Anybody that's been around would tell you that we're out seeking souls continually. Now, what we do is we have a 4 or 5 week push in the fall, a 4 or 5 week push in the spring, and sometimes in the summer, where we intensify our already existing revival. You say, why do you do that? This has nothing to do with every other church in America, but if I may say why, as pastor of this church, I do that, it's because I feel like that we need to push a little extra every once in a while, and I really don't think that pushing for 2 weeks to get people saved and then ignoring it the other 50 weeks of the year. I don't feel good about that. I don't think that's the way to do it. I think we ought to be out reaching souls for Jesus Christ 52 weeks a year. That bus ministry is important 52 weeks a year. Sunday school class is important 52 weeks a year. Church services are important 52 weeks a year. The altar call is important. Every time we end a sermon, we have an altar call, and every one of them are important. A lot of people will take the important things and shove them in a corner and say, I'll let you be important once a year. I've got a problem with that. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And I believe that God wants the New Testament church to have revival. You say, but Pastor, in this day and age, it's difficult. Don't get all caught up in this day and age. With God, all is possible. God can do it. So what we do is we already have a revival going. We're just going to intensify it. It's a little bit like we want to have a World Series of the World Series, or a Super Bowl of the Super Bowls, if you will. A revival of the revival. I think that God wants us after souls all the time. So what we're doing is we're adding to our current emphasis of bringing visitors, and our current emphasis of souls being won. And there's a level of energy and excitement in our church. You don't have to be here very long. You walk in and you say, well, this is not a morgue. There's excitement. There is something happening here. And you say, I'm a guest today. Is today a special day? Every day is a special day here. Every Sunday is a big Sunday. There are no small Sundays. And so we're like this all the time. Can you imagine a church that has to put up with the pastor that's like this all the time? But that's how it is. That's the way we are. You come and we're excited about serving the Lord. You see, we enjoy serving God. And we don't have the attitude here. We don't say, well, we've got to serve God. That's not our attitude. We get to serve God. Our men's activity tonight, had you been there, they wanted to be there. We were having a good time. We were serving God and helping and being involved, and we liked it. But you know, in the Bible, every time you turn around, they were pushing to help people and get the gospel out and get people under the preaching of the Word of God and get people saved. I mean, one of the most famous occurrences in the Bible, Acts chapter 2. Peter, he led a group of people to have 3,000 people saved on one day. How you say, what is that? I'm going to guess, if you really wanted to categorize it, I guess he probably had a big attendance drive. And what a whopper of a day. People are still talking about the big day called Pentecost. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and miraculously fed 5,000 men. Then, in addition to the 5,000 men he counted, there were women and children. I'm going to guess that there was some sort of an attendance push that went on. You say, well, what did they give away as promotional items? Fish sandwiches, evidently. With tartar sauce, by the way. In the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, they were a very active and excited group of people. They were doing good deeds, and people came from everywhere. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse number 14, he says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. It sounds like to me that they were not satisfied just to be in existence. And that is the basic attitude of churches today. We're just glad we have our doors open. Just glad we're in existence. God didn't put us here just to exist. He put us here to do something. The existence is only the basis of what he wanted us to do, and that was to help people and reach people and change our world. Jesus heals a woman's daughter in Matthew chapter 15, and in verse number 30 it says, and a great multitude came unto him. I'm going to guess somebody was spreading the word. All of a sudden, a multitude of people came. Now, here's the problem. Obviously, in the Bible, throughout the history of the Bible, you'll see them drawing people in. And God used multiple ways of trying to get people into the church and getting people to Christ, and a multitude, a large group of people, and getting everybody in to hear the gospel and everybody in to hear the preaching as he could. But the devil's pretty smart. He always picks up on what he watches God do, and he does. He mimics some. For instance, I believe the devil, he has an attendance drive. Listen to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. It says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. and opened her mouth without measure. Huh. Looks to me like the devil started out with a certain amount of territory called hell. But because the devil was intense about his efforts for wrong, he didn't have enough room. They had to expand hell to accommodate the number of people that went there. Isn't that sad? I would hate to think that the devil was committed to expanding hell, but we are not committed to expanding the kingdom of heaven, and we're not committed to getting more people under the gospel. You know, in Revelation chapter 17, verse number 15, it mentions the multitudes that have been gathered and deceived into hell. If I understand right, hell was a certain size in the beginning for one third of heaven's angels. God really did not intend that man would reject the gift of salvation. And so hell was created for one third of the fallen angels that were told about in Isaiah chapter 14, but people began to reject. The devil got all excited. The devil started him an attendance campaign, and he was going to do everything he could to dilute the cause of Jesus Christ so people would reject Christ, die and go to hell. And it got to the point where there was not enough room in hell, so they had to build a new building. Had to get bigger parking lots because hell was full beyond its capacity. While the church buildings are empty and their parking lots are empty. Looks to me like we got a problem, huh? Yes, so what do? Well, then we try to reach people. We do not have to be a contributor to the expansion of that building program that went on in hell. We have our fall program. Basically, it's akin to a revival. Here's what I do, because my mentor, who was a genius, this is what I watched him do. Some people will have a revival Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night of a week, and that's good, and they can do that. You say, what do you do? I have revival on Sunday morning. Amen. Say, why? I want to get people into my church. I just spread out the meeting from Sunday to Sunday, and we do it for four Sundays in a row. What have we done? We've just taken the concept of Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night revival, moved it to first Sunday, if you will, and then a second Sunday, and a third Sunday, and a fourth Sunday, and get people in on a Sunday. That's all. You say, I don't really like that. I really didn't see where it was a problem. Sunday's the Lord's Day. I thought maybe if we could have some revival on Sunday, it'd be all right with God. I'm sorry it doesn't fit into your calculation. And you say, well, my Bible college didn't teach me that. Well, maybe they should have used the Bible. Churches are supposed to have revival. Some people are a little afraid of it because they're afraid that some preacher's going to get up there and blow a cork and yell and scream. But look. We need revival. America needs revival. Our churches need revival. But here's the thing. When we launch our attempted little extra revival, the devil says, I've got a plan too. He's good at it. But could I recommend that you not let the devil influence you during our fall program? Because he has a plan. I'll tell you what it is, if I could. Let me tell you, I think first of all, the devil says during our fall program, during ours, he says, I must work harder during the fall program than any other time. I think he's smart enough to know that. I mean, right? If you and I are going to work harder to reach people, get people saved, and bring people into the church, I'm going to guess our opponent thinks that's a pretty good time to step up his intensity. You know, listen to this. Revelation 12:12 says, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a little time. Do you understand that he understands the timing and when to kick it into high gear? Makes sense. He knows we're going to work harder during the next few weeks to bringing people into church, so he's going to work harder. Some of you will be a blessing to him because you'll get on his bandwagon. Hey, let's make the devil work ridiculously hard. Now, I'll tell you what he's going to do to some of you. It's revival time, if you will, or we call it the fall program. Remember, ours is revival on Sunday, not Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and we may do that someday, but right now, ours is, it's revival time on Sunday. So you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to discourage us from getting something done. You know what I promise you, You're going to get excited. You're going to say, I'm going to bring some visitors, and I'm going to go out and visit, and I'm going to invite people, and you're going to have a car breakdown. He's going to try to discourage you. You're going to have some unexpected financial issue. You're going to have get some sort of bad news, or there's going to be a health problem pop up. And let me tell you something. If you have a one-week health problem, keep it in the week. Don't stretch it out for 2 weeks. People are very good at that. But let me tell you, the devil, he'll come along in a special way right now and try to get you frustrated and discouraged. Your kids were angels for their entire life until next weekend. And all of you are saying, well, that's not true. But next weekend, we kick off the fall program, and that's when your little angel decides to be a little demon. You say, ah! Well, the devil has a way of trying to get us down and discourage us. Hey, don't let it shock you if it seems like the devil puts in a little overtime. Especially, there's some of you, you say, you know what, I am going to get involved, and I'm not going to be a chicken. I'm going to invite some friends. I'm going to work on my bus route and work on my Sunday school class, and I'm going to get some people in. I will guarantee you, you get a good attitude about the revival or the fall program, the devil will see that good attitude, and he'll say, I am going to squelch that attitude if I can. The devil, he kind of kicks off a fall program about the same time we do. The devil will work hard to keep us at bay and to keep us uninterested and uncommitted. So, let me tell you right off the bat, the devil says, I'm going to have to work harder because they're going to work harder. But secondly, I think the devil says this, souls are at stake. Now, you understand, we're trying to help those souls to go to heaven. He wants them to go to hell. So the minute we say we're stepping up our efforts to keep people out of hell, he says, I'm stepping up my efforts to keep people out of heaven. You see, I'll promise you that that's the way he thinks. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is going to try to keep us from getting people saved. He knows that souls are at stake. Do you know? Did you know the devil knows this? We're going to give away our rubber chicken. You know the devil knows that the total ulterior motive behind the chicken is getting people saved. He said there are some people that are into the rubber chicken. But you all do get it, right? That blow-up chicken is to motivate you to realize there's a hell. And the rubber chicken and the chicken candy, if you think it's all about the chicken, I'm sorry you missed it. And the devil's bright enough, he knows. He knows it's all about the fact that there is a place called hell and people are going to go there for all eternity and there is a heaven. And if we don't do something about it, they will die and go to that hell. And the devil said they might get all caught up in the fun of the thing, but the devil says, I know what's at stake. I know what that preacher's doing. I know what he's trying to convince people to do, to see the big picture. You know, people that were going on their way to hell with the devil at this church in the next 4 weeks will change teams because we'll get them saved. His numbers are going to suffer. He knows we're trying to keep all the people we can out of hell. I think the devil believes in heaven more than most Christians do. He knows it's the real deal. He knows Jesus is the Savior. It's big to him. Now, we have some fun. We have our chickens. But don't lose track of what it's really all about. Hell. Heaven. Jesus. Salvation. Hey, do you know God saved you and left you on this earth to help bring others to Jesus Christ? Now, you have other things that you'll do along the way. But there's somebody you ought to be bringing to Christ. Don't miss it. God didn't save you and leave you here to sit around and enjoy your chocolate while you watch Jerry Springer on the television. God saved you to use you. So the devil knows that. You see, We're going to work harder. So the devil says, I must work harder. We say souls are at stake. We're going to help people not to go to hell. And the devil says, I'm going to try to keep it so that people do go to hell. I must oppose that. But then thirdly, I think the devil says, I got to do what I can to keep these Christians from getting excited. He very strategically points his fire extinguishers at people to put out their fire. Now, for some of you, it's just a little squirt. There's not a whole lot of fire there. But he wants to put the fire out. I'll promise you, the devil would rather I not be able to challenge you today. The devil would certainly like to minimize this sermon's impact on your influence and your fire and your desire and your excitement. And so you all understand, if you're a leader in the church and you want to be a productive Christian that brings people to Christ, he is going to be squirting the fire extinguisher at you. He wants to put out your fire. He wants to put out your intensity. Now, why? Well, he realizes this is a real deal. He's got to turn up his efforts because we're turning up ours. He believes that souls are at stake, and so what's he going to do? He is going to work on us and try to keep us calm. He comes to the Christians in this room and says, don't you get all caught up in this silliness. You'll embarrass yourself. Can I tell you something? What would it hurt you to embarrass yourself for Jesus? They stripped him, beat him, humiliated him for your salvation. But you won't suffer a little humiliation? And by the way, I don't know how much humiliation there is in inviting someone to church. If that's your big overwhelming humiliation of life, you might need to take a class on courage from some three-year-olds. It's not that hard. But you know what the devil does? He comes to us and says, now don't you get caught up in this excitement. Don't you get caught up in this drive. Don't you get caught up in all this. You stay reserved. I'll tell you what, people aren't going to be reserved in hell. I think the devil comes and says, and I'll tell you something, I'm a firm believer that teenagers and young people can get on fire for God and make an impact for Jesus Christ. You young people, don't you let the devil convince you not to get involved. You bring your friends and you reach out to people. And don't you ever be ashamed to bring people to church. And don't you ever be ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ. Don't you ever be ashamed to pass out a gospel tract. Get excited. Baby, there are people in here. You get excited about football, but you won't get excited about church. And you get excited about the hunting season kicked in, but you won't get excited about bringing people to church or revival. Let me tell you something. Some people just need to push the reset button on their exciter or get their exciter fixed because, well, you get excited about everything under the sun except the most important things. We need to get excited. But the devil comes along and he said, look, I know the devil, he probably says, I know Jeff Owens. He will try to get those people excited about this fall program. And I don't want them to get excited. I will oppose that. I'll try to stymie it. I'll push it down. I'll douse it. I don't want that to happen. You know, someone said that a fanatic is anyone who gets more excited about Jesus than you. You say, they're a fanatic. What that means is they're more excited than you. You say, well, Brother Owens, it's just another fall program. We do this all the time. That's exactly what the devil wants you to say. You say, well, I've been coming to this church for 3 years. This is our third fall program. It's getting old. Could I say to you, I think this is my 120th program. And I'm excited. These people sitting back here, I'll guarantee you, they sit there and they're probably thinking, this is exactly how he's been for years. We've known him for 30 years and he was like this when he was younger. He was excited and trying to get people to get excited for the cause of Christ and keep people out of hell and make a difference and build the church. And hey, look, folks, the devil doesn't want you excited. And if you sit there like a bump on a log and you don't care, he's got you. I'll tell you, if he dangled you over hell for a moment, you might get excited. If you would realize what's really at stake, but he does. It's not just another program. It's something that God wants us to do. There's an attitude that must be developed, and we've got to protect that attitude. You say, well, I'll get involved in the next one. There may not be a next one. You've been putting it off long enough. Get involved. I think, you know, if you're a new Christian, let me encourage you about something. Sometimes it's very easy to get new Christians excited about serving God. You know why? They remember it was just last year they were on their way to hell. Yeah, and they're still excited about the fact that they're saved. Can I tell you something? If you were saved 40 years ago, you're just as saved today as you were back then. Hell's as hot today as it was back then. Heaven's as marvelous as it was back then. The problem is not heaven or hell. The problem is you. You don't appreciate your salvation like you used to. You don't appreciate the fact that God didn't let you die and go to hell, and he made you a part of a workforce, and that workforce is to bring others to Christ. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be full. The devil, he doesn't want us to get excited. I will promise you that. He doesn't want that. Here, I'll tell you something. If you won't get excited about this little extended revival, this little Sunday revival idea, the fall program, just whatever you do, don't discourage the ones who do get excited. Don't do that. I mean, the least you could do is let them do it without being criticized. Hey, I'll tell you this also. I think the devil says this. I think he says when we start a fall program, he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to be faithful now. And you know, the devil's not a quitter. He's faithful. Did you know this? He's here every service we have. Yep. Do you ever sense it? He's here. He's faithful. He's here to do his job. There's somebody in here saying, yeah, and I know which one of them these people he is. I know which one. I'll tell you what, the devil will say this. He'll say, you know what, they're kicking into the fall program. I'm going to be at every meeting to see if I can keep people suppressed. I'm going to be at that Sunday school teacher's meeting. I'm going to be at that bus meeting. I'm going to be at that prayer meeting. I am going to be faithful because there's no way I can slow a revival down unless I show up to do my job. Isn't it incredible how bright he is? For me to keep people out of heaven, I've got to know what's going on, so I've got to show up at the meetings so I can be there to trip them up. You know, and I guess then, Christians, if he's smart enough to know he's got to be where the action's at, then maybe it might be a good idea for us to show up where the action's at. He came to stop you. You didn't come, so he wasted his trip. I think the devil intensifies. I think he intensifies his efforts. But not only that, I think he likes to ruin our attitude. He would like to ruin attitudes about revival time and a church going forward and growing. Maybe he'll say, I'll get somebody in the church to become childish in attitude. You know what he'll do? I've heard this. I don't hear it a lot, but people say, oh, you're giving away rubber chickens. You're trying to bribe people. Yeah, that's really a heavy-duty bribe. We're really coming down with the big stuff. It's the rubber chicken giveaway bribe. But there are people that say you give a promotional item. That's a bribe. First of all, a bribe is giving somebody money to do something wrong. There's nothing wrong with giving someone a gift for coming to church. Oh, you say, well, you know what? The devil says, I'll work on their attitude. I'll bring up the full parking lot. Now, I know it's raining this morning and the parking lot's full. You had to maybe walk a little extra to get to the church building. And I apologize, and we'll fix that as soon as we can. But I'd just be glad I was going to a church where the parking lot was full instead of empty. You know what? My Sunday school classroom's already full. Why would I want to try to bring anybody else? I don't know. Maybe you want to keep them out of hell. Have you thought about that? You say, but it's inconvenient. It's a little warm in our class. We think it's going to be like in hell. Think it's going to be convenient and cool? You say, well, right now, The auditorium is full. We're not even in a big attendance drive. And I walk in and I can't find a seat. Why would I want to bring somebody else when the auditorium's already full? I don't know. Maybe you could do it because it's right. In time, God will give us a bigger auditorium. And I know that might be a little different and a little hard for some of you because you're not used to it. I've dealt with this my entire ministry. I've always been out of space. And I'm glad for it. I invite it. I don't do it, but I want that. I want to fill God's house. That's what it's all about. Oh, but the devil, he'll work on our attitude. He'll say there's not enough room in the parking lot. He'll say there's not enough room in our Sunday school class. There's not enough room in our church. And those children. Those children, sometimes the way they behave. I wonder if God ever looks down from heaven and says, those children, and he's pointing at you. He said, the way they behave compared to who? Jesus. You're just as bad behaved compared to Jesus as some of the bus kids are poorly behaved compared to you. But he didn't cast you out. And the only way some of the young people are ever going to learn is if somebody loves them and gives them a chance. And as long as I'm pastor, they're coming. They're coming. We're going to reach out. We're going to give them a chance. And probably, they probably contend to frustrate me more than you because I have to conduct the public service and then deal with your attitude if you're upset with them. Now I would be dealing with two children, not just one. And sometimes if I say things like that, I do loosen up a few seats right before program times. So I will get a space one way or another. You know, the old devil, he comes around, he says, you know what, I'll just help him to get grumpy. You know, this actually happens. We'll go into a fall program. There will be people that will not come to church because the church will be congested and you just won't come. And we know, we miss you. It's too bad. I'm sorry you feel that way. There are a lot of dead churches around. There are a lot of empty buildings, empty parking lots, empty baptistries. They don't ever get people saved. They don't ever get people baptized. Sorry. The devil says, I'll just help them to get a bad attitude about it. Unconcerned, uninterested, critical. I just know this. I know the moment we start a fall program, the devil says, I got a few plans too. I'm going to turn up my intensity. I'm going to try to keep people out of hell. I'll work on attitudes. I'll try to get people uninvolved. I'll try to get people convinced next time, whatever it is. That's what he does. Do you know, I think this, I think, you know, we have a gift or a reward or two that we give away. I'll promise you something. The devil, he gives rewards away. He'll promise you the world. He even did it with Jesus. He told Jesus one time, he said, look, fall down, worship me. I'll give you everything you see. Jesus said, I already own everything you see. Well, Jesus was saying, well, you think you're talking to a sucker here, buddy? Oh, but the devil is talking to some suckers. Because he'll say to you, I've got something for you. Doesn't he entice you away from God, promising you the world? What's he give you? Broken heart? Messed up life? He knows how to promote. But he's a liar and a thief. So, if you were thinking, oh great, the pastor's on his fall program drive. Yep. He is, and he's happy about it. And I think if you'll realize the value of one little boy or one little girl getting born again, you would say it's worth all the tomfoolery, if you will. Worth it all. Because I believe that Jesus would have died, been buried and resurrected for one. And that means all the energy we put into it, it's worth it all.